Well, good morning. If you will, turn to Genesis 27. Genesis chapter 27. I'm thankful to be here. And I hope I thank you several more times. It's been a privilege to get to know you and meet you. And, you are an encouragement to me. And I have a good report to take back to San Diego to be an encouragement to them. And so I'm thankful for you. Genesis 27, I want to look at a few verses here, verses 41 through 45, and ask a question. We looked there Thursday night, who God is. Last night, what he's done, what he's done for me. But then, once I know who he is, and I see what he's done for me and in me, I'm still me. Ain't that right? He may turn me upside down, but I'm still me that's upside down. And so I have some trials in this world. I have trials with others in this world. And I think that's common. That happens, doesn't it? Why is there turmoil between the people of this world and believers, especially blood relatives? I'm certain that happened with you. It happens with me. Why is there trial and tribulation and trouble between blood relatives because of the gospel? Sometimes we have a fight on our hands. So I titled this Fight Then Flight. I hope I can give you some comfort in those struggles that we all have across this globe if we know the Lord. Give you some comfort with that, and then on that fight, and then tell you about a flight we have. Here in Genesis 27, verse 41. You know the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob dressed like his brother and wore the clothes of his brother, had hair, felt like his brother, and brought his brother's venison in one hand and bread in the other. The bread of life, the meat of the gospel, the sacrifice of Christ and him crucified. And he went to his father and didn't say anything. He just said, I'm my brother. I'm my brother. I'm Christ. I'm in his name and smell like him. I'm dressed in his clothes. He's our elder brother. Father, I come to you in him alone. And Isaac blessed Jacob. And he said, once I blessed, he's plumb blessed, as we say where I'm from. He's not going to stop being blessed. When the Father gives gifts and repentance, his callings, and life, it cannot be undone. It's without repentance. When he gives us repentance, he's without repentance. He doesn't change his mind. It doesn't change. And so Esau was mad. And he was sad, and he repented, and he cried out, and wept with bitter tears, it said. We read there in verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob. But there's not a period there, is there? It says, because. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, he didn't say out loud, he said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. That's why Isaac had blessed him. He thought he was going to die. He lived another 40 years, but he thought the end was near. He said, the days of mourning for my father at hand. Then, once he's dead and we have him in the ground, then will I slay my brother Jacob. He thought this in his heart. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, concerning you, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee. And he forgot that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Rebekah gave good instruction here to Jacob. And we see the gospel in this, but we also see some comfort for us, those that the Lord has revealed himself to, and you who know him, who he's worked in. It says Esau would kill Jacob after Isaac died, after he was mourned, because he had blessed Jacob, the younger brother. That's why my family would kill me. I got two brothers and a sister. And they would cut my head off and kill me in a field if it were possible. That's why. Because there's a division because of him. That's all throughout John. There was a division. There's a division because of him, because of Christ, because of this gospel, because God saves people. And that's why. Let's turn over to Matthew 10. Why do those that do not bow to the Lord Jesus Christ and worship him, why do they want to kill you? You may say, well, my loved ones and brothers and sisters and mommies and daddies and my family, they don't want to kill me. They're just a little upset. If the gospel was the topic and there were no rules, oh, yes, they would. Yes, they would. Look here at Matthew 10, verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 16, our Lord speaking. He says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before the governors and the kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought of how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. In you. This isn't something good you've done. This isn't good way of formulating an argument that you have come up with. This isn't your testimony and your testifying to other people's. The Lord's going to speak through you. In his power, he will use you to say he did it. In his power, he will use you to say, I'm the workmanship of the Lord. Now, growing up, my dad, he'd tell everybody. He would go get pump fuel at a gas station, and he'd say, come church with me. Come to church with me. And he'd tell people at where he worked at and anywhere, strangers on the street, come to church with me. Come to church with me. He had a company, and he put all his employees on the payroll. And he said, I'll pay you 8 hours if you'll come on Sundays and go to church. Boy, that first week, the place was packed. Standing room only. The next week, there's missing about 10 or 15 of them. The next week, about half of them were there. And after a month or two, none were there. He said, I'll pay you 8 hours to come listen to this gospel being preached. I got something else to do. It's something else more important, didn't it? It took, I thought he was crazy. I said, Dad, why do you say this? He said, come and see. Come and see. Come hear about a man. Nobody listens to you. I thought that's so foolish. 20 years later, I realized it took the power of God for him to say that to those people. What a blessing that would be. It takes the power of God to invite people to church to say, come and see. Come here by me. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death because of the gospel. So that's not happening. Now, people aren't sacrificing their children. There's no way. Here in a few weeks or months, Brother Angus, you're going through John as well. There in John 9, that blind man was taken to the temple, and the Pharisees questioned him. And they said, well, his parents are there, get them. They said, has he been blind from birth? What happened to him? And they didn't want to lose their standing in the church and their benefit and their privilege being in that church. And they said, I don't know, ask him. They backed the bus over their son. They threw him under the bus, as we say. They sacrificed their child to preserve themselves. The Lord said this would happen. He said, verse 22, why is this? Who's telling you this? Why is this happening? Verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. For his name's sake, everybody's going to hate you. Everybody's going to hate you. And you know, people know that. People know. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the Lord's done a work in somebody. This isn't hidden in a closet. That candle's not underneath a bushel somewhere. Children can know. Children. What happened to Peter? The Lord said, you'll deny me 3 times. He said, I never will. He said, you'll do it 3 times before the cock crows. And there were some grown-ups there, but he went by a fire, and there's a doorkeeper, a little teenage girl. She said, hey, I know you. You follow Christ, don't you? You follow that Jesus of Nazareth, don't you? He said, no, I don't. Little stranger. A teenage girl knew that, didn't it? Verse 23, but when they shall they persecute you in this city, flee to another city. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It's enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more should they call them of his household? Go out and preach the gospel. You go out and declare that man's nothing, and behold your God, and you're going to have some problems. Christ came into this world, and he preached Christ, and they crucified him. They hated him. They pursued him. They wanted to stone him and kill him. Give him a Roman death. How can we expect anything different, huh? You know, this has happened a long time. This wasn't new. Turn back to Genesis 4. This is what happened between Jacob and Esau. Isn't a new thing. These very first siblings that was on this earth in Genesis 4.
Cain and Abel.
Genesis 4, verse 1, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. We look for his coming, don't we? It's what Paul said. You look for the one that saved you. You look for him to come. You look for Christ to come. The Lord told them, you're going to have a seed, and it's going to crush the serpent's head. It's going to bruise his heel, but it's going to kill him and crush the serpent's head. And she had Cain, and she said, the Lord's fulfilled his promise. Here's the man of the Lord. She was wrong. She was mistaken, but that's who she was looking for. She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2. And again, she bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground and an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And two, that's the person and what they bring. A man or a woman's sacrifice, what they bring to God is not independent of them. You are one with it. And you're either one to your works and your self-righteousness and your acts of good deeds, or you're one with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one or the other, isn't it? Cain was wroth. His countenance fell. Verse 6 says, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? Why your countenance fell? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? What's he say? Same thing John wrote in 1 John. Doing righteousness, that's to believe Christ and love your brethren. That's to have that new heart in it that has instinct that can't do anything but that. I can't keep from loving you. You have the same father I have. We're family. I can't keep from believing Christ. I have his seed in me. You do too. You can't stop it. You may get mad and stomp off for a couple years or whatever for a season. But if you're his, you can't stop believing him. That life's in you. He said, if thou do well, if you do righteous, you'll be accepted. You know that your whole life. Adam's told you that. Your daddy's trained you well. He said, there must be blood. A covering must happen from something innocent for you. You can't cover yourself. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The Lord said, you know these things. You know, this gospel's been preached to you. There must be blood. If I see the blood, I'll pass over. Not your blood. Not your works. Not you growing pretty vegetables and picking them. Life must be given. But something must die. The wages of sin is death. So they discussed it, verse 8. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. What do you think they talked about? Football games? Soccer? No. They talked about this gospel, didn't they? And Abel said, what? That's what you've been told. That's what I've been told. We grew up in the same church. There's only four people on earth. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He slew him. Because of the gospel's sake. Because of the Lord's name's sake. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. Who he is and what he's done. That's why Cain was so mad. The first siblings on this earth, the elder killed the brother because of this. And nothing's changed between this world and the Lord's people. Isaac was blessed greatly during a famine. This great drought came. Nothing would grow. People were starving to death. And he planted a garden. It doesn't make any sense to me. It ain't rained in years. Let's put a garden in the ground. And the Lord blessed it 100-fold. And those Philistines, they envied him. They didn't want him to have it. It wasn't jealousy. It was envy. I want what you got. And I don't want you to have what you have. Later on, parents of that blind man, John 9, they turned their son over, didn't they? David, those in his own household were after him. Out to get him. And in our day too. But it's not about us. It's not about you. They're mad at you. It's not about you. They're mad at the Lord. That's what it is. Why does that happen? I hope I've established a pattern. This has happened from the beginning. There's been struggles in families. Why? Why is the Lord pleased to allow this to happen? The very first reason is to keep us humble. To keep us humble. And to know He's the Lord. My pastor went down to Mexico to preach one time. And they were so thankful to have him. Boy, they were thankful. And one of the people had a house up on the hill. There's a rancher, and they had a little bit of money. And they put an American flag up. And then they had a big banner saying, "Welcome, Brother Henry." And they just wanted to love on him, you know. And that was fine to them. He come back, and he said, "You know what?" He goes, "That's dangerous for him. For that to grow up in his head, he had to be humbled, didn't he?" And so the Lord sends things to humble us. Shimei came to David and cursed him, right on the horse and just yelling at him, kicking rocks and throwing things, cussed him. David's right-hand man said, "I'm going to take his head off. He ain't going to talk to my king that way." And David said, "Leave him alone. God said, curse David. God sent him to me for him to cuss me. Leave him be. Lord knows how to keep his own. He knows how to humble his own. So with that said, if Brother Angus has a message for you and it just blesses your heart, tell him. Tell him. His head ain't going to puff up. The Lord knows how to keep him. You go ahead and tell him. But the Lord sends us these struggles in the world to keep us humble. And it's to make us to cry to him for help. To cry out to the Lord for help because you feel helpless. And I don't mean we'll cry over anything, won't we? You get a flat tire or you run out of gas or something. Little happens. You can't find your keys. "Oh, Lord, help me." Well, a fool cry out for help like that. I mean a soul cry. When it's your own flesh and blood and there's misery. And there's no one else that can help. The Lord is our help. He's our strength. And we'll begin to cry out to Him. To keep us humble, to keep us crying to Him, and to make us see our need for God's people. I have earthly brothers and sisters. And they're against me. For this gospel's sake. They can't stand it. But the Lord said, "There's not a man, a woman on this earth that's forsaken mother and father and sister and brother and aunt and uncle and however you want to cut it. Homes. For my sake, I will not increase them 100-fold. And he said, "In this lifetime also." What's he mean by that? He's telling the truth. We know that. Do you know right now, each of you on a Honda CRV in San Diego County, California, you come over there, you drive it as long as you want to. Run it out of gas, get flat tires. I don't care. You have a home there. Bunch of homes. Bunch of people there. You come, it's yours. Take it. I have a home here. Angus opened his home up to us, fed us good. Lisa's fed me and then fed me again and fed me one more time. Lord shows us this, that across this world, I have brothers and sisters, and I need my family. Sheep need other sheep. A sheep's greatest fear is being alone. They're a herd animal. They got to be together. Lord sends us these trials to make us know that. We want to be with those that worship the true and living God while we are on this earth. We want to be together. And so he makes us humble. He makes us cry to him. Makes us see our need for God's people. And he makes us desire to leave this present evil world. This earth's not my home. I look for a kingdom that's above, an eternal kingdom, not built with hands. I can't have no fellowship with darkness. Okay, I get along okay in the world. I mean, I'm not fist fighting people in the streets or nothing like that. I get along okay, but this ain't my home. This ain't my home. And the older I get, the less I desire this world, the more I see this isn't my home. And I desire to be with my Lord. We get sick and we get tired of this world. That's four reasons why we have so much trouble in these personal relationships and these families that we have. And I hope that helps you. That's the fight we have while we're here. We have troubles and tribulations. It's promised. And I hope that's a comfort to you. But here's the flight. Here's what all that makes us do. Look here in our text in Genesis 27. There are four characters in these few verses. And it's a beautiful declaration of the gospel. There's Esau, the elder brother. He's the law. He's God's holy law. There's Rebekah. She pictures the Holy Spirit comes speaking to the Lord's children. There's Jacob. That's me. Sinner, supplanter, deceiver. And there's Laban, the brother in Haran. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Read this with me. Genesis 27:41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Esau is a picture of the law. He's against us. You get that? The law's against us. People say, well, this is just a rule of life to do well. No, the law's not your friend. It's against you. You can't keep it. You've offended it. You can't make it happen. Don't run to the law. Don't go there looking for comfort. It's against us. Paul wrote that to the church at Colossae. He said, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. It was against us. It ain't our favor. We've ruined that, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Man said one time, well, that handwriting of ordinances, that was man's ordinances. But the Lord didn't carry that to the cross, did he? It's his ordinances. His hand wrote it in stone. It's unbendable. And he nailed that to his cross for his people. Having spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He hung on that cross and said, it is finished. Because it was done. It was complete. Nothing can be added to it. He's done that. The law says die. We deserve death. We are guilty at every point. Then what happens when we see that? Verse 42. That's the facts. Genesis 27:42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son. Now he said that in his heart. How did Rebekah hear that? Who told her? That's the Lord's law, isn't it? He wrote it. The Holy Spirit knows what that law says. He sent and called Jacob. She sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee concerning you, it pleases him. He doth comfort himself to kill you. She sent and called Jacob. We're called with a holy calling, aren't we? The Holy Spirit comes to us and speaks to us. Calls us by name. What's the first thing that Holy Spirit tells us? Sin. Sin. It's what we are. Not something we've done. Not some acts we've committed. It's our nature. It's who we are. It's a noun, not just a verb. Sins come from that. We're not sinners because we murder. We murder because we're sinners. That's the problem. Rebekah, the Holy Spirit says the first thing to a sinner, the law is against you, and you're going to rightfully die. That's what's going to happen. And then she tells him a little something more. Unless you flee to the one I tell you to flee to. This is just, this is right. You're going to die unless you flee. In our day, I'm sure it's no different here. The popular sales tactic and pitch is God loves you and Jesus died for you. God loves everybody. Jesus died for everybody, and he's just pretty pleased, wringing his hands and wishing you just help him out and get on his team. What nonsense. That's hogwash. That's ridiculous. Not once in the prophets, not once did the apostles, not once did God's earthen vessels in our day, ever. They haven't, they don't, and they ain't going to. If he sent them, did they ever say that poor little Jesus just wanted to save you? God's trying to do something. Never. Lord doesn't want. He's God. That's who he is. He lives up to his name. If he wants it, it's so. If he purposes it, it comes to pass. That's who he is. Any of those people that preach such a thing, a little G God, they're liars, they're thieves, and they're charlatans. I'll stand on the rooftops and tell them, I don't care. Laugh at them. Sort of Elijah mocked them, didn't he? God's servants come and they say, thus saith the Lord your God. In a sense, I tell our brethren that, in a sense, I have the easiest job on earth. I just tell you what the Lord said. That's it. What about this? Well, the Lord says this. That's it. Comes out a little harder than that. Plays out a little harder than that, doesn't it? But in theory, I got the easiest job in the world. I tell you what the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord your God. What's the thing he says? All flesh is grass. Mankind ain't nothing but the grass of the field. And you knowingly and unknowingly, I've knowingly and unknowingly, willfully broke God's holy law, and I can't be in his presence. I'm convicted of sin. The soul that sinneth, it must die. People say, well, I ain't done nothing that bad. And Paul said, you that want to keep the law, don't you hear the law? Don't you know what it says? What? They don't. I love medium steaks. I don't really like well-done steaks. I don't like them where they're just kind of gray. I don't want them raw. I don't want that thing still moving, moving at me. I like medium, maybe medium well. Do you know if I took one bite of a medium well steak and I want to keep the law, I'll go to hell forever. You can keep that whole law, and live in a house right over there and not have a railing around the top of that house, and you'll go to hell forever. You start reading them Levitical laws, but we're in a mess of trouble, isn't it? We're in a mess of trouble. Paul said, don't you know what this is? All flesh is grass. We've sinned against the holy gods, what Lord's people say. And they said, behold your God. You ain't nothing. Look to him. We're convicted of sin. Now there is righteousness. Look at him. Look at him. Read over in Isaiah 40 verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And he shall feed the flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. What's man's part of that? Well, we're carried and led. Lord does everything else, don't he? The one that saves sinners is holy. This God that does this work is holy. God's holy. Jonah came preaching to Nineveh, and he said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Repent. Repent. You've sinned against the holy God. John the Baptist came in those days. He was preaching in the wilderness in Judea, and he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Peter there in Acts 3 said, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Our Father sent the Son, the Messiah, God in human flesh, and he began to preach and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's that mean? Turn from yourself and your way of thinking and what you think's right, and turn to the holy God you offended. How could that be? What? No, he's the one I've offended. He sent his mediation. He sent his lamb. Turn to his Son. He's the only one where mercy can be found. He's the only physician that can heal. And he delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. And he can be just and justified. Man can't do that, can he? Rebecca's warning Jacob here. He's warning him. Our Lord warned us. He said, when the Holy Spirit will come, it will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Once a man's convinced, once a person's convinced of our condemnation, once we are convinced and reproved of our sin that we are, and once we're convinced that the Lord's holy, Christ is righteousness. He's our only hope, our only righteousness. Once we see that, we flee to him. We flee to Christ. Look here in Genesis 27, verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. What's Rebecca saying? Flee to Calvary. Flee to the Savior at Calvary. Flee to Christ and Him crucified. That city of refuge, run to it. Run to it and enter it. There's a whole lot of people that can tell you all about that city of refuge. How many bricks are on the wall, what color it is, what kind of mortar they used, how many nails are in the door. They ain't went in it. If you know you're guilty, you go in. Desperate, thirsty, hungry, starving, needing mediation, don't we? It says in verse 44, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury be turned away. Stay at the foot of the cross until the Lord shows you that your enemy has been taken care of, that that foe's been defeated, that the law has been satisfied in our Redeemer, that every jot and tittle has been worked out perfectly by His hand, and it's His doing on our behalf. That He's righteous and He's magnified that law in what He's done. He had to live that perfect life for me. I see why He had to come. I see why He had to die. And I see where He is now. When God turned His back on God, this whole world went dark for 3 hours. Because I was on that cross in my Redeemer. He finished the work. He satisfied holy justice while remaining just. And then He's risen. He went to the tomb and laid, and He's risen. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. I see why He had to do that, because of what I am. And I see where He is now. Once I see that, do I go anywhere else? No. I'll stay right there, don't I? Judgment's been satisfied. And this is just. It's right. It's right for God to justify us because of Christ, because of His blood that was shed. And it blotted out our sin. It removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. If He'd have said north, south, I'd have been in trouble. You can go north, and then once you hit the top, you start going south. You hit south, start going north. If you go east, try to get to west, you just keep going east. It's magnificent. Says verse 45, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. How could that happen? The Holy Spirit says of Christ, His brother, that He's one with, so you stay with Christ until that law forgets what you've done to it. How could that be possible? How? The God who changes not, the God who cannot forget, says, our sins and iniquities, He'll remember no more. He'll remember no more. You broke the law. Flee. Flee. Like a gazelle getting chased by a lion. Run with all your might to Christ and stay there forevermore for love's sake. For love's sake. See what He's done. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, if You're pleased, bless this word to our hearts. And make us see what we are. Make us see who our Redeemer is. Lord, and enable us to praise Him and glorify His name. Thank You for this hour. Thank You for Your children that You've gathered together. And what a blessing it is to us, Lord, to have brothers and sisters in this world that have the same God we have. Let us worship together and see our need and be thankful for this family You've given us. What a great gospel we have, Lord. Give us grace to tell others. Give us a word to say, come and see. Behold this Lamb of God. It's in His name that we ask it. Amen.